Now, Father, thank you for just how great you are. I thank you for how real you are and how real you have become in Isaac's life. And even though he's got lots of challenges, I ask that he would just know the huge difference of having you in his life every step of the way to guide him. I ask that he would grow well in Jesus. I also thank you too for just hearing about Ethan and Kirby at the Savannah's mission. Thank you for the great conversations that they were able to have. And I thank you for these wonderful opportunities that are given us to help people to know the truth. And we thank you now that even though we're Christians and we're looking at the Old Testament, thank you how rich the Old Testament is in regards to faith and life. Even the Apostle Paul talked about it being a really good example for us. And we just ask tonight, as we look at a little bit more of the story of Abraham, that you'd help us to learn great lessons from the section we're looking at. And I ask for your blessing on each one. Lord, you know what we go through in life. Thank you that you're so familiar with us. I ask that you would minister to us tonight and help us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rightio, so two Sunday nights ago, I started a series on the life of Abraham. When I say that, slash, the God of Abraham. You can't talk about the life of Abraham without talking about the God of Abraham. And it was fitting to start the first evening service of this brand new year in this place with the title of the sermon being New Beginnings. Because we looked at Abraham's life, Genesis chapter 12, where there was a very big new beginning for Abraham. And if you were here, you would have found out about how he had a very big new beginning when he moved from a place called Haran, which is like about 800 kilometres northeast of Israel. And he travelled all the way from there to Canaan or Israel. Big distance. So it's sort of like southern Turkey in terms of our own geography today to somewhere around Jerusalem. So that's what he did. And it was a pretty dangerous journey. He's going with his wife Sarai. He's going with his nephew Lot. He's going with his servants and with all their possessions and their livestock. And in those days, there was lots of raiders. So there was it was a dangerous journey. It was so easy for people to raid you and dispossess you. Not only that, he's going, he's leaving Haran, and his dad had just passed away, and he's leaving family, he's leaving his hometown, and he's going into a place he's never been before. So the question that should come up in our mind should be, what is Abraham doing? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing a new beginning? And the answer is, according to Genesis chapter 12, God called him. God called him. So I'm going to read that to you again. It's in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, he hasn't got that name yet. He's called Abram at the moment, then he becomes Abraham. Same guy though. Alright. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So this is God's calling on Abram's life. And not only was there a calling, you notice all the blessings that God's going to give him. A calling and blessings. Okay, so Abram, what did he do? He obeyed. And what was the thing driving him to obey? By faith. By faith. In fact, that's picked up in Hebrews, the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, where it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. By going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. So by faith. So off he went. And what a dangerous journey, and what a big journey for him, away from his hometown. He went to this strange new place, a place where there's pagan worship, where there's Canaanites in the land. So like very, very strange place. And two Sunday nights ago when we were looking at this, I wanted to show you something. I just want to summarise this. I love this. So Abraham gets called, and he obeys by faith. And as he goes to the land, God then affirms that calling. And then what does Abraham do? He makes an altar and worships God. And I said to you how that's a fantastic pattern. That is a pattern that we should know in our life. God calls by faith, we obey, he will affirm that to us, that we're doing the right thing. And what do we end up wanting to do? I don't know how you feel. I often feel like falling on my knees and just thanking the Lord as I'm involved in his purposes. It's a beautiful pattern. And you don't have to wait for the big things in life, do you? I reckon when we talk about new beginnings, brand new year started, new beginnings should be every day. Every day is a new beginning. That's how I look at life. And my favourite verse, my go-to verse on that, is Lamentations chapter 3, where the prophet Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 3:22 and 23, the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease, his mercies never fail, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I always feel when I wake up, good morning, Lord. Hope you do that. Good morning, Lord. Thanks for the sleep I had. Thanks for this new day. And I might not use these exact words, but also I say something like this. Thank you for this new reset. A new day. A new day to hear your call. A new day to walk by faith and obey you. A new day to be affirmed in the faith. And a new day to worship you. Now, not perfect on this, but that's what I'm trying to do. What do you think? I'd encourage you to get into that. And I wanted to just share that with you, what we looked at last week, because I think that's really important. All right, so now, tonight, we're going to look at Abraham, and you might be intrigued by the title of the sermon. Abraham is known as the father of faith. That's what he's nicknamed in the New Testament, the father of faith. And we're going to see a time when he was faithless. No way. Oh, yeah. Faithless. He just had a great faith to heed God's call, but now we're going to see him faithless. And I want to look at what led him to be faithless. And I'm sure that we can relate to this. I know I can. All right. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. We'll be specifically looking at verses 10 to 20. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. So why did he go down to Egypt? Pretty simple. It tells you why. Because there's a famine in the land of Canaan where he was living. A famine. That means that there's no rain. That means there's no food. And there's no water. And you're going to be starving, right? So it makes sense. Go to Egypt. Why go to Egypt? That's a desert place. Not so. There's a big Nile River. Whoop, didn't knock that over. Good. A big Nile River that feeds Egypt. And so Abram knew that there was food and water down there in Egypt. So that's where he went. And he didn't just go to get some food and then go back home. It says in my translation that he sojourned there. That means, well, I'm living there now. All right, he's living there. Now, anything wrong with anything here? I noticed a few things wrong. Who am I to criticise Abram? But he did do something wrong. Have you noticed, when he moved from Haran to Canaan, he went there because, was it a good idea? No, God called him. All right? So God called him and he went. So now he's going from Canaan to Egypt. Is God calling him to go there? Not according to what I read. Has he been praying about this? Not according to what I read. I reckon he did what we all do. I do this too. Just a good idea. I'm going to use my human logic. I just go along with the flow. Makes sense to me. And I want to tell you all, I know it's very common we do that, and it's wrong. We have to learn to walk by faith, not by sight. I don't know how many times I have mucked that up and fallen into a hole. All right, so I want to tell you all that. So Abram, I think we can relate to it, what's happening. It's so easy to walk by sight, walk according to human understanding, human logic, and not according to walking by faith. All right, so that's a pretty big thing for me. And by the way, in the New Testament, that comes out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, walk by faith and not by sight. All right, so there it is. You've got to take that on board. There's lots of green pastures in Egypt. Sight. Getting told of all this food there and water. It's all sight. But he should have asked the Lord. That's what he never did. All right. And so one of the things that I've been guilty of is failing to ask God to direct me rather than, and that's walking by faith, rather than working it out myself. I was an engineer, you know. Engineers know everything. No, they don't. I've had to have some big lessons from God, I tell you. Yeah, normally it's a big disaster, and then I realise, oh, yeah. That's why sometimes I tell you that I'm still on L plates, you know. What is it? All right, so a verse that I remember learning as a young Christian, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. This is a classic verse. Two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Ian? Oh, it doesn't say that, but that's how I apply it. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's a statement of faith, not human logic. Now, when it comes to all these things, the best way that's reflected is in our prayer life. If we're walking by faith, you'll notice that you will pray a lot more. And that's how it is. And so in the big things of life, we should be praying and asking God to direct us. And in the small things of life, we should be praying and asking the Lord to direct us. I'm going to use two examples. I know a number, not thinking of anybody right now, I know a number of Christians, young Christians, who have decided to get married. Great. They've met each other, they're with each other, all good. And so then I'm involved in pre-marriage and all that. And I ask them, or question I'll ask them is, so, have you prayed to the Lord that you should be getting married? Then they'll answer. Because they've just assumed. They've just assumed that they're Christians. They've met each other. Circumstances. It must be okay with God. That's what you're not meant to do. You're meant to pray and check. Well, what about this? Something really small. I lost my keys again. Well, that's really my brother John. All right. So, oh no, John, you lost your keys again. Where are they? I don't know. Have you prayed yet? No. So you've got to pray even for the small things. So we need to really apply this. Prayer really reflects, shows us whether we are walking by faith or not. We're meant to include the Lord in all the things of life. Okay. So that's, I've got here, when it comes to walking by faith, three big things is, read the word, I haven't mentioned that yet, pray. Also, it's good to seek godly counsel. So they're really good things. Alright, so Abram failed to do this, and how quickly things went downhill. I'm going to now read Genesis 12, 11 to 13 to look at the next point. It came about, when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. You should have just stopped there. That's really good, right? That's okay, right? That one? But he kept going. Oh, no. So what does he say? So I read it again. See now, I know that you're a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. And they will kill me. But they'll let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you. Beautiful wife, that's good. The rest, oh no, it's not good. Okay, so what causes Abram, the father of faith, to again, to me, looking at this, show faithlessness? What drives him to not trusting God? What causes him to say, Sarai, just say you're my sister, and that's okay, Pharaoh will just take you, at least I don't die. What's driving this? Fear. Fear. And that's something else that we can all relate to. It's fear that can drive us into bad places. It's fear that is actually an opposite to faith. So if you have great faith, you will have little fear. If you have great fear, it means you have the opposite. Great fear means little faith. And that's how we need to understand it. Now, Jesus taught us about these things. I notice these verses that are so well known. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled or fearful. Trust in God. Trust also in me. What helps a fearful heart be settled? Faith. Trust. It's even in John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So Jesus knows us. Our hearts can be fearful, be troubled, and the answer to that is faith. And when you have God, when you have faith in God, trusting God, then your heart's filled with peace. And I'm going to read another passage to you from the Gospels in Mark chapter 4. This is a little bit of a story. But notice how Jesus makes it so clear that faith and fear are opposites. So because Abraham had fear in his life, that's why you see no faith. This is what happened one day. What a lesson is in this story. Mark chapter 4, 35 to 40. And on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him, and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So notice the disciples. The disciples are in what state? Fearful. And are they trusting Jesus? Not at all. They actually think he doesn't care. Alright, what happens next? And being awakened, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Now these are the words I want you to hear. How did Jesus interpret what had happened? Here it is. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" That's what he says. Jesus, who sees everything perfectly, he looks into their hearts, he sees fear operating, and he says, "No faith. No faith." And I want you to get that. Faith and fear are opposites. And so we need to grasp that. We're not to have fear driving our life, except for one fear, the fear of the Lord. We're not to be driven by fear. Instead of fear, we're to push out fear by faith and trust in God. So let's be aware of how we can fail to look to God to direct our life. That's being faithless, or fear that causes us to not trust God as well. And these are important lessons for us. So when all these things happen, Abram's not looking to God to direct him in life. He's doing what he thinks is the right thing. And when we have fear operating in our life, the next big F word is you fall. You fall into a pretty big hole. You reckon that happened to Abram? Oh yeah, it did. So let's now read verse 15. And in verse 15 we read, "Pharaoh's officials saw her," that's Sarai, his wife, "and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house." That's not good. What do you reckon? That is going really bad. That's going downhill. Just get my notes here. And what a fall. So Pharaoh takes Sarai's wife. And as we find, he actually takes her to be his wife. How do you think Sarai feels now? I reckon she'd be pretty upset with Abram. And how do you think Abram's feeling? "I lost my wife. Look what's happened. Doing my own thing. Following my own ways, using my human logic, having fear in my life. Look what happens when I'm not operating by faith. It's disaster." I reckon after it all got sorted out, my little take on this is they would have had a lot of serious marriage counselling. I reckon there would be. Oh man, what a disaster. So I want you to see how terrible it gets. It's terrible. And you know what? Genesis 12 verse 16 says something interesting. It says, "Therefore, the king, Pharaoh, treated Abram well for her sake and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels." And I look at that and I go, what's that there for? Isn't that so often you're in a hole and yet you're sort of being encouraged as if it's all okay. You know, Abram's getting all these blessings, but it's not okay. I've lost my wife. What does my wife think of me? Oh, so it's just terrible. But now I want to finish on these great truths. No matter how bad things get, don't forget God called Abram, and God really loves Abram, And no matter how far we fall, there is an incredible God who wants to still capture us and bring us back. I'm blown away by that. What an incredible God. And let me read to you Genesis 12, 17 to 20. God steps in. We read here, verse 17. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So even though Abram's messed it all up, look at God. This is called grace. God being so gracious. Verse 18. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife?" So he actually did it, took her for his wife. "Now then, here is your wife, take her and go." There's lots of grace in this story. God intervenes and Abram and Sarai are sent away, but they're now together. And also another thing I notice is they're not killed. You know, the king could have gone, "That's it, you two, you're dead." Look at God's grace. Even when we really mess it up, when there is no reason why God should just go, "That's it." Look at his grace, friends. That is amazing. I love to see God's grace everywhere I can. This is grace. Verse 20. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. So the story ends well because of God. And that's the theme right through the Bible, isn't it? I think we were talking, Alana, about in the Jesus Storybook Bible. And in Genesis chapter 3, I know it's not a Bible verse, in Genesis chapter 3 in the Storybook Bible, it talks about this terrible day when Adam and Eve sinned and blew everything and everything went bad. And then it says at the end in the Storybook Bible, in any other story, this would be the end. But not in this story. Our Bible doesn't end in Genesis 3. All because of our God. All because of his grace. All because of his love. And I hope you understand that. I hope you understand that the Lord, he is real. We are to know him personally. And even when I have messed things up, the worst I could think of, I get blown away that God should still love me and help me in my mess. That's who he is. Praise be to his name. I'm going to read a few verses to you. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a man or woman are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Don't you love that? So when we fall, humans have a tendency to kick you when you're down. But what does God do? He puts his arms around you and lifts you up. Well, think of Psalm 73. A little bit different. Psalm 73, the psalmist gets in a really bad place. Man, he's actually getting close to blaspheming God's name and disowning God. And he's just ranting and raving, and all these things are happening because he's jealous of the wicked. He's not walking by faith. And then he goes into the sanctuary. God opens his eyes to the truth. I'm going to read to you now Psalm 73, 21 to 26. Psalm of Asaph. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. I want to point out that's grace. Keep going. With your counsel you will guide me and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What a turnaround. And that's what happened in Abram's life. He failed here. He was faithless, but God saved him. And guess what? His faith returned. And I just want to quickly finish with this thought. You know, faith is dynamic, right? I hope you all know that. Faith is never the same every day. It's very dynamic. And you need to be aware of it. You can have days when you have great faith, and you can have days when you have no faith. You can have it all in one day. Can you believe that? And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that for us, God's different. He is faithful absolutely to us 100%, but we're not. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to make sure that we maintain faith. We nurture our faith. We encourage each other into faith. And when you do that, something beautiful happens. Abram's called the father of faith because he actually grew in faith. And he became more and more a man of faith. And I'm not going to get to Genesis 22 yet, but it's incredible to see him grow so much in faith, even though right here, in this time, he was faithless. God is in the business of growing our faith. Is that what you're observing? I don't really like trials, but I know that God uses trials to grow my faith. Have you observed that? Finish on this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Peter writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, knowing that the proof or genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So what that is saying, picture language, pretty powerful picture language. God permits you to be in the crucible, being crushed a little bit, and God is doing that to help you grow in faith and to make sure the faith you have is actually genuine. Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in the pastor? Are you trusting in whatever? Or are you trusting in the Lord? God wants to grow your faith, that your faith may become strong. That's what he wants. In the days we live, we need some strong faith to help us get through. All right. Abraham. Yeah. Okay, I'll just pray, and then anyone got any things they'd like to share, that'd be good. Our Father, thank you for all your Bible, and thank you for Genesis 12 that we've looked at tonight. Thank you for Abram. Thank you for allowing this story of him falling to be in the Bible. We know that none of us are perfect except Jesus. And I'm really glad to see, Lord, that Abram stumbled too, because I do. And I thank you that I can see why he stumbled and I can learn how that happens to me too. And for all of us, oh Father, I pray that you would help us to make sure that we don't just live in autopilot mode and do whatever we think is right, but we would learn to walk by faith and include you in everything of life, to pray to you and ask you to direct us. I also ask that you guard our hearts from fear that drives out faith. Help us to be careful, not to be fearful, to be afraid, but to trust you. And Lord, thank you so much that when we fall, I thank you that you are such an amazing God who picks us up and holds us and restores us. And this is because you are such an incredibly gracious and good God to us. And I ask for all of us to experience that we might know how good you are, even to our own soul. Thank you, Lord, for this time tonight. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.